to us and really challenged us how we live. And I'll let Sing Hot share more of that later. But after the dialogue that day, we actually had time to chat with the speaker. And he's actually a Malaysian Chinese. But we were so amazed to find out that he actually lives in Guildford, UK. And that's where we are going. And he graduated from University of Surrey, and he's one of the board of directors in the University of Surrey, from which Karen is graduating. And later on, when we spoke to Karen, and of course we spoke with him, we were very excited. We went back and we were talking to our daughter, Karen, and we realized that Karen actually serves in the hospitality ministry with his wife. So, for me, it was a divine assurance. I felt God cheering us on to plan this trip and to go for it, you know, even in the midst of all the ministry that he has for us to do. And as for Sing Hock, I'll let him share his part.
You know, we serve a God who is so mindful of the situations that we are in. And he likes so much to involve us in what he is doing in his kingdom. You know, my wife is like a busy bee, right? Right now especially, because she is getting ready to go to Australia because my daughter is going to give birth. And this morning, as I come to church, one of the brothers said, "You look like a dato." You know, this datoship doesn't require any money. I don't have to give anyone any money to get this datoship. And actually, I don't have to do anything. I just let my wife do all the running. She's so busy preparing, you know, getting children stuff and all this. But I just sit and enjoy the datoship that I will be getting this August, you know. And that reminds me, you know, of what it's like, the anticipation and the anxiety of a father. I'm a very privileged father. I actually not only, you know, some people, when their wife is giving birth, they'll be outside there. They'll be doing all kinds of things. They'll be biting their nails, you know, waiting, listening, you know. But for all my five children, I was there in the delivery room. You know, I was there, every one of them. And the thing about welcoming a child. I remembered Karen, the fourth one, since we are talking about Karen. Karen was born April 16. So is her brother, also April 16. And Carol, our fifth one, is April 14. And on the Sunday that Karen was to be born, in fact, I went to the church. I told the leaders, I said, "Today I will not be in church. I'm going to the hospital because my daughter is going to be born." And that I did. Emily had this birth pain, and then we went in the hospital. We were there, I think, by about 10 o'clock. And the gynae said, "Well, come back at about 3 o'clock. I said, "No, no, no, the baby is going to come. I know the baby is going to come." Indeed, the baby came at 11 o'clock. And when I look at the baby, you know, the baby comes out. And it is not a pleasant sight, you know. And then after that, they would cut off the umbilical cord. And the next is, they would turn the baby and give the baby a smack. My question is, at which point was the birth completed? Was it when the baby came out of the womb? Or was it when the umbilical cord was cut? Or was it when the doctor smacked the baby and the baby gave a shout? At which point is the birth completed? You know, today, we are celebrating or we are remembering Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. Do you know it's Pentecost Sunday today? You know, when I come to church, I thought this would be a Sunday where people would be so excited because it is the birth of the church. It is the birth of the body of Christ. It is Pentecost Sunday. And it didn't come quietly. Pentecost Sunday was, or rather, the first Pentecost. It was the day where the nation, where the town, the city of Jerusalem was filled with people. From about 150,000, maybe a million people flocked to the city. And they come expecting and they are celebrating Pentecost, the festival of the feast. I mean the harvest festival or Pentecost festival, or they call it Sabbath. It was a day that we anticipate something would happen. And the birth takes place. But the question today I like to ask us is, when is the birth completed? When is the birth complete? It is a peculiar birth. And it is a very important birth as Christians. This is perhaps the second or third most important day in your life. For Christian, it is the most important day. Your birth into the kingdom of God is your birthday. It's the day when you receive your DNA. You're ushered into the kingdom of God. And you are His children to share with Him in the inheritance that is to come. So what is Pentecost Sunday as Christian? Right? I have defined this. Right? I've taken it from all different places and I defined it. When Pentecost occurred, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came as promised, baptizing the believers into Christ and giving them power to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit came down to permanently indwell in the disciples, thus beginning the church age. The Old Testament period of the law was concluded and a new era began. Those who believe in Jesus as Messiah during this present age becomes part of the body or bride of Christ, known as the church. The church age began at Pentecost and it will end in Revelation chapter 4 when the rapture takes place, when the church is caught up with Jesus in heaven, and then a new era began, the era of tribulation. But we live in the time where God gave birth to the church, a peculiar birth. So what birth is it? You see, our Father do not just do things haphazardly. Our God is not a God who is haphazard. We study SRM and we know that there is a continuity and an order in everything that God does. When God created Adam, He was the creator. But when the nation of Israel was born, God became God to them. They became God's people. When the church was born, God became our Father, and we became His children. So, God gives us a progression in which we grow from Him being just a creator to Him being a God who has relationship and He rules over us, to a relationship that is intimate, that we are His children. And Pentecost is the birth of the church. And it is that church that's going to fulfill the purpose and the destiny of God. Right? So that's Pentecost. But Pentecost didn't just start during the time of Acts. Pentecost had been celebrated for nearly 3,000 years. For 3,000 years, the Jewish people had celebrated Pentecost. But before that, let me just go back to the scripture. Right, let's read the scripture. Right? Can we please stand and just read the scripture? When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own languages being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and parts of Pontus and Asia, Pyra and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs, we hear them declaring wonders of God in our own language. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does all this mean?' Then how is it that each one of them Father, we want to come before you this morning. Father, we thank you for giving us a day where we will commemorate and to remember Pentecost. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and to teach us. Lord, let your words, Father, begin to be rekindled in our hearts. And Father, we pray, God, that we will be able not only to remember your word, but to embrace them into our hearts, that God, we truly would have this complete birth, that we will be called Christians, we will act like Christians. And so, Father, we pray today, let your Holy Spirit empower the words that are spoken, that we may go from this place rejoicing in the fact that we are your children, rejoicing in the fact that your Holy Spirit has empowered us, rejoicing that you are called us, you have called us to be witnesses for you. So, Father, we just want to give thanks to you for your word. Holy Spirit, come and to teach us that Jesus may be made known to all of us. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. See, I don't like technology. All right. Now, Pentecost, the birth of the church, I'd like to share this from the perspective of it is a plan of God, it is the promise of Jesus, it is prophecy of Scripture, and it is a peculiar birth of the Holy Spirit. Now, these four components will make the birth of the church complete so that it can fulfill the purpose in which it was called. The plan of God. As I said to you before, the Pentecost had been celebrated for 3,000 years. when Israel became a nation, God spoke to Moses and said, I want you to tell my people to commemorate, to remember certain times and festivals, right? That the nation of Israel is to, for all generations to come, to remember all these feasts. The first one is the Passover, right? We did a Passover, the Seder meal. It is a family celebration, a celebration where on the 10th day of the first month, the Jewish family would select a lamb a year old, bring them into the home, and this lamb will live with the home, with the children. And on the 14th night, evening, the lamb is to be slaughtered. It is a Passover lamb. And the blood is to be put on the side and the top of the doorframe of the house. That lamb, Passover lamb, is to be slaughtered, sacrificed, so that the angel of death would not kill those occupants in the house. It says, after the Passover, you are to remember the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, you as a nation will celebrate it. Right? Because when you leave Egypt, you leave in haste. And that you have just flour and dough and just water. And for 7 days, I want you to remember that you left Egypt in haste. Now you leave the time of persecution and affliction, and you come, and for 7 days you are to eat bread that is unleavened. And then he says, after the Sabbath, the first day after the Sabbath, you are to celebrate the Feast of Fruits. What it is God is saying, I took you from Egypt to a promised land. A land where you have fruits, and when you harvest the fruits, the first thing we are to do is to bring the first fruits back to God and say, thank you, God. It is you who provided. So you are to celebrate that as the first fruits. And he says, if you were to count 50 days, 7 Sabbath, and then he says you are to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. It says this is to remember the harvest in your life. And after a while, the Feast of Weeks began to commemorate the giving of the law. Right? The Jewish people celebrated, and when they celebrated, they remember that it was God who gave them the law. It's God who gave them a new birth. In Exodus chapter 19, sorry, I don't have it here. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. God said to the nation of Israel, you saw how I delivered you from Egypt, how I carry you on eagle's wings. Out of all the nations in the world, I've chosen you to be my treasured possession. God said, I chose you to be my treasured possession. Of all the nations, I'm making you a kingdom of priests. God is saying, I'm going to be your God. I'm your God who provides for you. I'm your God who governs you. So when they celebrate the feast, they remember when He is our God and He governs us, there is a law. So they remember that the law was given to them. And whenever the children of Israel obey the law, then all things will be well with them. When they violate the law, then calamities come upon them. So God gave them the law. But when God gave them the law, God wants them to remember it. You know, our God is a God who is very graphic and is very big. In Exodus chapter 19, I think it's verse 17 to 19, it says that, when they came together on the third day, what had happened was, he says, there was lightnings and thunders, there were smokes that billowed, and he says, when the Lord descended upon that place, it was as if smoke fills that place. And there were loud blasting of the trumpets. And the law was given. When God gave birth to the nation of Israel, He did it in style. And when the nation of Israel followed the law of God, they were blessed. You know, we all have been recipients of the obedience of the people of Israel. Of all the Nobel Prize winners that are there, out of a few hundred of them, 80% or so maybe are Jewish descent. God has blessed a people who has faith to trust in Him. Right? You compare the Jewish people with the Arab people, they are billions, 1 billion of them compared to maybe 14 million. And yet, they would have maybe 90 times, 95 times Nobel Prize winners as opposed to the Arab. When the children of Israel obeyed God according to His law, God blessed them. So, God told the people of Israel, I want you to remember and commemorate all these feasts. When you do it, you are remembering me, you are honoring me, you are telling the world that our God is a living God. But you see, in God's timeline, I need to go back to that slide. Right. In God's timeline, you find that the nation of Israel and the church follows the same pattern. Right? When Jesus came and died on the cross, which we call Good Friday, it is Pentecost. No, it is Passover. When Jesus was sacrificed. When Jesus rose again on the third day, it was the first fruit that Jesus resurrected Easter Sunday. And when they count 7 weeks from Easter, this year Easter was April 16, my daughter's birthday. And in fact, April 14 was Good Friday, my daughter's birthday. And April 16, my son's birthday. Right? Now, you count 7 weeks. Today is Pentecost. And God said, as the children of Israel celebrate birth of the nation, we, Christians, we celebrate the birth of the church. The church was born on this day. Whichever day you are born, treat that as your Pentecost. But the question is, what kind of a birth do you have? What would people look at us say about Fairdeals Park Baptist Church or the members of Fairdeals Park Baptist Church? All right, anyway, I have actually lost my train of thought, really. But my wife used to say they have these ducks, you know, you're winding up, and then you go ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. For those of you who are old, you remember that, okay? It says that I'm like that. I always get lost in the process. And she fails me many times because the good things I prepare, I don't say. The things I shouldn't say, I say. I'm very much like Paul. All right. Anyway, the church, it says God has a pattern. That was the plan of God. What about the promise of Jesus? I want you to remember one thing. Right? Like I say, God is very graphic because He knows that that's the only way He'll remember. When Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the moment Jesus was baptized, has He been given birth yet? It says the moment He came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him. And the Father spoke, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus began His ministry after that event. Was Jesus the Son of God? Yes, all the time He's the Son of God. Was Jesus the Son of God before being baptized? Yes, He's the Son of God. Was Jesus the Son of God after He got up from the water? Yes, He is. But the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And it says, after that, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. Our birth is only complete when the Holy Spirit descends upon you. Not before. Anyway, let's go on. You see, when Jesus came on earth, he wanted to introduce this whole concept of the kingdom to the people who are Jewish. They don't have a concept of the kingdom of God. They don't have a concept of being called sons of God. And Jesus has to tell them something that's completely alien to them. But you find that he does it slowly. In John chapter 14, verse 15, this was the upper room discourse, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment, and I will ask my Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you to be and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and to remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, Jesus knows he's going to die. He knows that this is probably the last teaching he's going to have with them. And he introduced this. He says, I want you to know that if you love me, my Father will send you another comforter, the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth will teach you. So Jesus is introducing this concept of Father, Son, the concept of being empowered by the Spirit of God within us. Right? And the next, he says, in John chapter 20, 21. John chapter 20, 21 is the third time Jesus has come to be with the disciples as a group. This was the time when Peter said, I'm going fishing, and the rest of them said, yeah, I go too. Then when they were there fishing, Jesus was on the shore, he built a fire, and then you find that that was the time when Jesus spoke to Peter. But it was not only to Peter alone. He says, John chapter 20, 21, and Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, I grapple with this thought. Jesus breathed upon them. Now, meaning the Holy Spirit has come upon them already. The Holy Spirit was with the 11 in them. But you notice that they did nothing. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes upon you, but you have not activated it yet. It is in you, but you never used it. It is in you, but you have never practiced it. And I thought about this. It says, the power that Jesus says, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Wow! What power and authority God has given to us. And yet so many of us, you have the Holy Spirit there, and the Holy Spirit is sleeping like a baby inside of you. Right? Snoring all the time, you know? All the time the Holy Spirit is not alive. But this is what is happening to them. This is when after Jesus resurrected and was with them. And Jesus said, he breathed upon them. You think, I'm quite sure when Jesus said something, he's a great teacher. He's not saying, oh, I breathe upon you. I'm sure he does it very graphically. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive! And after that, nothing happens. Anyway, let's go on. Promise of Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Now, this is maybe after Jesus with them for many weeks after he resurrected. He says, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father had promised you, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is the resurrected Jesus with the disciples, and he's saying to them, now be patient, bear with me, what I promise you, the Spirit is going to come. But I want you to wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't go and wait in Judea or Samaria. Wait in Jerusalem, because God the Father is orchestrating and preparing, and he's bringing everything to one big, big moment. So he's telling, wait in Jerusalem, right? Until you are empowered from the power on high. The next verse. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This was before Jesus ascended to heaven. Before he ascended to heaven, one more time, he reminded them. He says, Lord, then the people asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? It is not for you to know the time the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. This is like the parting word of Jesus. Jesus, as he was going and flying off high, he says, by the way, remember to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So you find that Jesus promised to the disciples, this is what will happen. This is what will happen on Pentecost, right? This shows that I'm really nervous. So what happened is, a few days later, like I said, it was a big celebration in Jerusalem. The Jews, the devout Jews, and those who had become Jewish, those who followed Judaism, they were all flocked to Jerusalem. They will flock to the temple area. They will be the one they will bring all the sacrifices, because for the Jewish people, the Pentecost feast is one of the biggest. You know what is it that they offer? They will offer 2 loaves of bread made with yeast. Now all the time they will offer bread, but this time God instructed them, you are to offer 2 loaves of bread made with yeast. Now, to the Jewish mind, yeast is actually sin. Why make with sin, right? And they cannot understand why. But now we look back and we can remember it is the Jews and the Gentiles. And both of them have sin in their life. And when you offer it, Jesus covers them over. So it was Jesus who fulfilled this thing when they offer 2 loaves of bread to God as a sacrifice. And on top of that, they will sacrifice burnt offering of 7 lambs a year old, 1 bull and 2 rams as burnt offering. And they will celebrate sin. They will also sacrifice for sin offering, one lamb, right? And then, sin offering is 1 goat. And then they celebrate the fellowship offering of 2 lambs. It is a very big celebration to the Jewish people. Pentecost is a big celebration. They must remember it. And so on that Sunday, they all come to Jerusalem. That Sunday. No, there's no such thing as Sunday, right, for them. They came the day after Passover, and they were celebrating there. And when these things happen, they will remember there is wind. The blowing wind came upon them, all of them. And it is not, last night there was a tremendous thunderstorm in Penang. I don't know. Some of you may have woken up, some of you have not. But there was lightning. And this lightning was so huge, and I thought that it struck the house. So it is like there are wind blowing, phew, phew, phew. And it says that when that happens, people started to scatter and look what's happening. And then they saw this fire descending like tongues, and then it set on people. So they're all running wild, and in the midst of all this confusion, they begin to hear tongues. They begin to hear languages. In this case, there is no dispute that these were languages that people understood, at least 14 of them. They were speaking in a language. They were all Galileans. This is probably about 120 of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in Parthians, in Elamites, in Syrians, in Arabs, and all those different tongues, because the people say, we heard them praising God or expressing the wonders to God. So these were tongues that they distinctly understood. And it was giving honor to God. It was declaring that He is God. Remember Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel? When the people say, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build a tower to God. And God came down and go, boom! And they all couldn't understand each other. But now, when the Holy Spirit is given, it was not given to the Jewish people only. Now God said, it is given to every tongue that was present there. So God is making a statement that when Pentecost came, the good news of the gospel, the declaration of the wonders of God is for every tongue. Every tongue will hear the good news. Every tongue will declare the wonders of who God is. So this is the scripture fulfilled. And Peter explained this to them. We have no time, but let me quickly run through it. Peter explained it to them. Now, this has happened before. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. This was when Moses was the one that actually carries the authority of God. And when Moses complained about lack of workers and all this, God said, get 70 elders there. And then God said, I'll take the power from you, Moses. I'm going to put it on all the 70. And they all, when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not do it again. So this has happened before. God's Spirit comes upon His people. And they do the works of God. They prophesy. But He says they never do it again. Now, this is something in reference to what Brother Raymond shared, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the manifestational gifts of the Spirit. There were 9 of them. These gifts is not for me to use as I like. It is when God in the present moment wants to do something like miracles, healing, word of knowledge, wisdom, discernment, tongues, interpretation, there is a need, and God's Spirit, boom, comes upon. It manifests, and that gift is used. But in Romans chapter 12, we are talking about motivational gift. I'm motivated to serve. I like serving. I'm motivated to give. God gave me the ability to make a lot of money, and I give, and I enjoy giving. I'm motivated to organize. My wife is an organizer, right? She will organize the house, reorganize, organize again, and organize, you know. So she's an organizer. She loves to organize. And that's her motivation comes out of her. I'm motivated as a prophet. Sometimes I cannot stop not saying things. But as a prophet, we speak the word of God. And it's an awesome thing. Because if God gives you a word and you don't speak, you are irresponsible. But sometimes you do not know how to speak and you hurt people. And this is what I fear a lot of times. I hurt a lot of people. But you see, it's the word of God, and a prophet must rightly divide. If I think there's dishonesty, I speak up. I'm not judging you. I'm just speaking because of my motivation as a prophet. And some of you are just mercy-orientated. Everything is mercy. You must do good all the time. Even at the expense of spoiling your children or spoiling people, you want to give and give. And even though the person takes the money and do, he says, never mind, God knows. But a prophet says, If you take the money and go and smoke or go to this, there's no such a thing. I won't give you. So you find we have different motivation, but we are all part of the body of Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. Okay, where am I now? I got lost. We are talking about. All right. Now, Peter then begin to explain. Now, bear in mind that Peter is addressing the Jewish people. Right? Peter said, fellow Jews and converts to Judaism. You see, they all knew the scripture. These people all are devout Jews. They knew the scripture. And God used this. And he says, and afterwards, Peter was quoting Joel. He says, and afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in them. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood, fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now Peter, being a teacher of the law, he spoke and says, these things are not strange. We all know them. It is written for us already. It is written that in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and this is what is happening. Then the Spirit of God that calls Abba, Father, the Spirit of God that comes upon the people. So this is important, right? And then the last one. Okay, the peculiar birth, and I'm closing with the peculiar birth. Right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the renewal and hope of inheritance, and the community of believers. Church, our birth is only complete when we receive the breath of God into us, when we are baptized, and after we are baptized, we become a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything become new. I have my heart set on heaven, on heavenly inheritance. The deposit was given then, but it sets our heart to think that my life on earth is going to be short. My riches is so that it will allow me to have inheritance in heaven. My work is so that I will proclaim who God is. And this is expressed in the community of believers. The most powerful thing about the book of Acts is none other than the community of believers. When the church comes together and when the believers behave in a way like the book of Acts chapter 2, then the world will see. My wife shared about this man. His name is Dr. Kim Tan. Dr. Kim Tan said two things, two motivation in his life. Number one, he came from a very poor family in Negeri Sembilan. But by the favor of God, he was not even a believer. He got a scholarship to go to UK. And then from one scholarship, he had five scholarships. He finished his PhD. And on top of that, he was given a huge grant to start a work. He said, I will always be motivated by the fact of my humble beginning. And this, the second motivation is this. Just when I was in UK, I watched the Christians. He says, they were living out Acts chapter 2 to chapter 4. He said, I was not a believer, but I told myself, if that's what Christian is, I want a part of them. And he became a part of them. And you know, God, in his own way, he orchestrated this. Now, some of you may remember Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady. Right? Margaret Thatcher decided, no more free education. And so, our Malaysian students that were there, they were stuck because they didn't have enough money. And what these students did was this. They came together, they pulled the money together, they stayed together, and then they begin to build up that community. They build up to 40 students in that community. No one claims that the money is their own. Those who have more, they put the money into the pool. Those who have less, they put less. And then they will make sure that different people assign different jobs. And that community grew. And all those students graduated. My daughter goes to Surrey. Goes to Guildford to Surrey. And that she, from year one, had begun serving. It was because this one Chinese family, the Chias, they were part of this group of people. So they decided that every time when foreign students come to Surrey, we will take them into our home, give them a meal, share with them, encourage them. So it's because of that, my daughter's time in Surrey was so fruitful and that she continued to serve. You know, Emily and I were talking about this daughter of ours. It's not because of what we did. You know, last summer, she has 3 months of holiday. She spent 2.5 months serving in East Malaysia. In the orphanage, she taught in the school. In fact, I was just thinking, you've got 3 months and you spent 2 weeks with us at home. But you know, God has taken hold of her life and says this is what Christian life is all about. This is the birth that God has given to you and the distinctiveness of what it is to be a Christian, to be the church of God, to be the bride of Christ. You know, our community is an important one. And I hope and I pray that we will not just cancel our cell group because there are less people. Who knows that God wants less people to come so that there will be some things that are shared that are intimate. Our church community doesn't cost us anything. But you want to be blessed. You want to give. You don't only go there to receive. When you're in the community, you give. Your simple testimony of Wing, you know. You know the reason why Wing is in the hospital? Because he didn't spend enough time with the wife. And God said, put the two of them together. Right? And then you all have got the chance to see the loving things between Wing and the wife. But you know, when God gave birth to the church, there were certain distinguishing factors. The Holy Spirit must come upon you. That's the most important. And I just want to say this, you know, because somebody made a statement last Tuesday. Have I left the Assemblies of God? Now, did I re-register or what? I don't know what is it. I've never been ordained anywhere. I'm not ordained in any denomination. But when I say when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, without the Holy Spirit coming upon you, you are not safe. You are not safe if the Holy Spirit does not come upon you. Right? I'll show you in Scripture. Acts chapter 2. It was very clear that these people had been following Jesus. They had been water baptized. All these things they have done already. But they needed the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit must come upon you for you to be saved. Just as the baby, your birth is not complete with just the fact that you move out of the womb. Or the umbilical cord is cut off. No. You are only complete in birth when I give you a smack and then you receive the Spirit, boom, and then you cry. That's when birth takes place. That's when birth is completed. So you find that the Jewish people, the followers of Jesus, became born again at Pentecost. Now in Acts chapter 8, now Philip the deacons had gone to Samaria and he has preached the gospel and they believed and they were baptized in water. And this is what it says. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter, John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has not yet come on them. And they were simply baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John laid hand on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Yes, they already have being baptized in water. But they need to receive the Spirit of God. The DNA of God needs to be inside of us that distinguish us from the world. Yes, they have heard the word, they believe in the word, but they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John laid hand on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were baptized. This is Jerusalem, Samaria, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. Cornelius is not a Jew. He's a God-fearer. What I mean by a God-fearer is those who believe in Yahweh God and become Jews, following Judaism. So he was a devout man. He was a godly man. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believer who had come with Peter was astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized in water, that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. These are Gentiles. Right? They heard the word of God. They needed to be baptized. When the Holy Spirit come upon them, then Peter said, can we stop them from being baptized in water? Because they already had the new birth. They heard the word of God. They believe. They repent. And now they have a new birth. Acts chapter 19. And Paul said, John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There was about 12 men in all. This must be in Athens. It is not a Jewish place. But the Holy Spirit must come upon us. Then we are believers. Church, today is Pentecost. God wants our birth to be complete. He doesn't want us to be flimsy, social Christians. The Holy Spirit gives His Spirit, His gifts to us, that as a church we can manifest it. For a long time we have prayed that this church, I remember this says that somebody saw a vision. The vision was that a staff was laid down. Will we pick up our staff? Will we say, Holy Spirit, you have baptized me. I want the gifts of your Spirit. I want the empowerment to be your witnesses. And I want to live our life, either my family, my cell community, to be one that will demonstrate that Christ is our Lord, that we truly are the church of Jesus Christ. Raymond, would you like to come and finish off? As I said to you about this young man, Dr. Kim Tan, I know that this message came partly because of what I heard him share, and he gave me the message to what he shared with. This man's life has been such a blessing. He started NCI Cancer Institute in Malaysia, a biochemist, and he founded the Cancer Institute. After he graduated with the money and the grant he had, he built a game park in Africa, 40,000 acres. For social transformation. I was talking to him about the bees in Nepal. He said in Kenya, their bee farming was 10,000 10,000 homes. And he showed us a picture. And I asked him this question. I said, Dr. Kim Tan, do you have any work in Nepal? He said to me this, He says, you know, we have $40 million set aside for work in Nepal, for social transformation. Yes, he does not use the church, but his life has been transformed. And he knew what is it like to be born again, born into the kingdom of God, and carrying the name of Jesus. Church, we are all made in God's image. Every one of us have the same value in God's eyes. And God can use you different from me. God can empower you different from me. But the question, church, is, are we willing to have a complete revival? Father, we want to come before you.